Well, there are two of us, that's a quorum, so I think we can get started with the meeting. The first, we call to order, welcome to the Council Economic Development Committee meeting. It's Monday, August 12th at 8:14 a.m. This is a three-person committee, so two of us here, we're a quorum. First item on our agenda is consider minutes from the July 1 Economic Development Committee meeting. Those meetings were, or minutes were already presented through the July 11th IP9, which is approved by council, the subsequent city council meeting, so we don't need to act on that.
Lovely.
I'm sorry.
Is that not true?
It was received as correspondence by council, but this, since these are the minutes of this committee, I think this committee should vote to approve them.
Should approve them also?
Yes.
I'll move to approve the July 1st meeting minutes.
And I guess I second that, and so we do a voice vote on this? Yeah, all right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Item number, we're going to skip the actual meat of the conversation and go to the old new business portion. I know that our city attorney had shared communication with us that because we are a committee of three, any conversations that we had outside of this meeting needs to be disclosed and risk of running against any open meeting rules. And just the history of that was July 1 was our meeting. We discussed, you know, after that proposed TIF policy left our committee meeting, it went to a city council meeting where we rejected it. And then between the two city council meetings of July 16 and August 6, I know I spoke to Councilor Dunn once and Councilor Burgess about the TIF policy and specifically what is our process for moving forward. There wasn't a whole lot of discussion on substance between us. It was what do we do because we're a committee of three, yet we all need to kind of have a plan for how we get done. I had a similar conversation with Councilor Dunn. Councilor Burgess, did you have anything you want to disclose? Or?
No, and I recall specifically talking about scheduling as well and just trying to make sure that we could try to get any amendments to the next council meeting.
Yeah. Is that sufficient to cover that item?
Yes, okay. That covers your discussions,
so
that's fine. Thank
full
you.
Transparency for the public. That's a little strange when you have a committee of three. So, all right, so I think we can move on to sort of the meat of the conversation, which is the policy itself that failed to pass in city council. And in that discussion at city council, as well as other discussions I had, I went ahead and put together a memo that has been distributed about what I perceive to be the two big challenges for this policy. The biggest being, of course, the sustainability part. And then I also threw in a little bit more about a preamble about what the TIF policy is and does. You know, this policy has a couple audiences. There's staff, there's council, there's would-be developers, and there's also the general public. And so I had proposed that we consider adding text to this policy that's you know, written in this memo I wrote just about what the policy is. And that specifically is, it is not an ordinance. Council is going to vote on every TIF project. It'll always come before council. Is that, what do you think, Councilor Burgess? Is that worthwhile or is it just more verbiage?
Maybe both.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah, I think it's always, when we have guidance, I'm thinking about, for example, the comprehensive plan, which elements of that, for example, a map may be a signal to the public or to developers as to what we intend for that to be, but it doesn't have the binding effect of a zoning map. That doesn't stop people from saying, well, it said this in the policy and therefore, you know, this is what you have to do, or I believe that I have a right to proceed this way. So I do have kind of mixed feelings about it, but I think as far as communicating to the public, it is helpful to include verbiage like you have of just kind of an explanation of this is complicated, there are many factors, this is, you know, something that takes careful consideration and is kind of on a case-by-case basis, for lack of a better way to say it. So I mean, I think it's good. I'd be interested in staff's opinions as well.
And just to be clear, I am not proposing my exact language is what we adopt, but just something to that effect. And I would actually appreciate it if staff wrote it in their own language. I don't need my language to be part of anything. So what do you think?
I have no objections to it if you want to include it. Yeah.
My only question I had was one of clarification. That is, the language you propose kind of leading into the bullet points of climate action and resilience is examples of leadership and sustainable development include, and then the following. And then toward the bottom, after the bulleted list, you included language that used the word shall. But I thought, well, I'm looking for clarification. One way of reading that would be that if you were demonstrating leadership and sustainable development by using an alternative green building certification, then a narrative written by a licensed green building professional shall accompany the proposal explaining why an alternative path was chosen, et cetera, such that only if you availed yourself of that second revised bullet point would this shall kick in. Is that consistent with what you intended, or did you intend this all to be a little more, by means of examples, as given the word choice, kind of leading into these bullet points?
Well, on question one about what is the purpose of the policy,
yeah.
Did you have any concerns about adding text about does this policy, it's basically that, you know, before the bulleted point would basically,
right. The
city council shall vote on each TIF project and is not bound. Is there, I think that's the first piece, is do we need that language?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
Is that helpful?
Sorry for skipping ahead.
No, we will get back to that. I just feel like that's the...
I thought that was helpful.
Okay.
Because...
Or wrong or problematic in any way.
No, I thought it was helpful for just the reasons you and Councilor Burgess explained. That is, you know, having folks understand that this is policy, this is what's guiding staff as staff engages in negotiations with developers for projects that will eventually, of course, be brought forward to council. But of course, it's council, it's you folks, well, the greater body of council, of course, that approves these. And I think this does a good job of explaining that.
Okay. Sorry, I just wanted to understand if that's valuable to add to the policy or not. And does it make sense that mm-hmm. we put that in? And then we can move on to the sustainability piece that you brought up, the shall and the intent of. I don't know, where I'm at is, I think the crux of all of this is how many people do we want checking the checkers who are checking sustainability? because as I tried to articulate, we have design professionals who make these judgments, we have professional staff who reviews them, there can be a third party who's helping talk to all three of them, and then there's also a verifier, mm-hmm. and all that comes at a cost, and I think that the revised policy said maybe that additional cost of all of the verification maybe isn't what we absolutely require for every project.
Mm-hmm.
And we approved that out of committee last time, but it did fail in the larger council. So what do you think, Councilor Burgess?
Well, I think a couple of things. So getting to the shall question, I'll maybe kind of hold that for a second. I do really appreciate that you've put some metrics in here. And I think that just having to provide that understanding to developers that we're looking at sort of specific benchmarks that exceed what would otherwise be required is very, very helpful. As to the question of a cost of, you know, a third party verification, I, again, would be interested in staff's input.
Yeah.
And I think that having that opportunity for, as the technologies change, as the standards for being able to quantify what the sustainability elements or improvements, you know, above and beyond what would be required would be, I do think having some kind of check, I actually really appreciated how Councillor Alter spoke about it during our meeting of like, you know, this isn't just a very random or sort of made up way of saying we're improving sustainability, we're enhancing our decarbonization, you know, that it really does need to be verified. I think we may still have some of the same challenges of if it isn't something we are familiar with, or it is something very, you know, sort of leading edge. How do we balance that against all the other benefits that we're trying to get? And I think, you know, vesting that in the hands of experts makes good sense to me.
I would love to hear from Sarah Gardner, Climate Action Coordinator, on what you think about these metrics and how you would use them, or are they useful?
Well, first off, thank you very much for inviting me to the meeting today and the opportunity to speak. Certainly, I think third-party verification for new construction projects makes a lot of sense, particularly given the limited staff capacity we have currently. I don't know that anybody on the Climate Action staff has the ability to evaluate a building as a whole in the same way that a third-party verifier would. That being said, one of my concerns in this discussion is that I really love the big picture thinking about new construction, but I have been thinking a lot about how we've used TIF funds to date for climate action, and that has been for existing buildings and one-off projects that aren't going to be as comprehensive or achieve something as ambitious as a 25% reduction, let's say, of energy use over the energy code performance, just by the nature of the buildings that we've been working with. And I wanted to provide just a couple of examples of how we've used these to date, and in a gentle plea that we write this in such a way that we can continue that work. In part because with the elimination of the emergency levy, we don't currently have funds to offer businesses who want to do something like put solar panels on their roof. And tapping into TIF funds was one opportunity to be able to continue that work. So all that being said, one of the examples I was thinking of is I was just thinking of some projects that we'd actually worked on, one of which was working with the P&G plant to get a high efficiency air compressor for one of their production lines. And P&G is in a facility that you all know from touring is very advanced, I mean, far ahead of where many of the buildings in Iowa City are. And that project was among the more expensive TIF projects we funded, but I think it's a good example of the Pareto effect, whereas you get closer and closer to your goals, right, it becomes more expensive to do less. And so part of my hope is that we have the flexibility to continue to work with businesses on that end of the spectrum, recognizing that most of the businesses we work with are not there yet, mm-hmm. right? And they also may not be in a position. I'm thinking about some businesses we've sort of had in a holding pattern in the Towncrest area until we could get a revised TIF policy in place, that they're really looking for like basic light bulb changes just to get to LEDs. And then maybe coupling that with solar panels on their roof over time. But they really only have the budget to take on one project at a time. And where TIF comes in is accelerating that project. So instead of waiting for the next 5 or 10 years to accrue the capital to pursue it, we're able to put some extra money in and get those savings underway so that they can take what they save and then apply to the next project and the next project. I think those examples make metrics a little tricky. And one of the things that I've been wrestling with and how we might clarify this language and have been since receiving Ms. Norbeck's email is there a way we can write this policy that distinguishes what's going to apply toward new construction mm-hmm. versus existing construction? In part because we all know if you drive down Muscatine or Highway 6 or Gilbert Street, the number of existing buildings that we need to work with in Iowa City far exceeds the completely new development that's popping up here and there. So it's my preliminary thoughts on it, I'd say.
Yeah, you're right. Everything in here was influenced by, you know, correspondences we got from community members and is very focused on new buildings exclusively, and that's not all we do. Is there, the previous policy was criticized as being too open. and now I think having that context helps. But the other piece of this is, do we want to have a separate section for new buildings and for mm-hmm. everything else? Is that a direction to move?
I would defer to Rachel on this, who knows more about structuring TIF policies. That would work for us, I would say. I would add, for your consideration, one of the things that we had recently started doing in the Climate Action Office is asking businesses that participate in a TIF funding opportunity to enroll in the Energy Star Portfolio Manager platform and continue participating in it for the next 3 years, which gives our staff the opportunity not only to verify that they are achieving an energy use reduction aligned with the goals, you know, of their proposal, but also to stay in the conversation with them about what next projects might be. And I think, I'm realizing I gave you such a long answer in response to a question about third-party verification, that this should have been the answer. For existing buildings, I think that is working all right so far, and I myself would be interested to see if we couldn't use that in place of third-party verification for existing buildings, because there we're just talking about evaluating one or two systems that have been added to a building. And I know, you know, Councillor Moe, from working with LEED, one of the pitfalls, I think, of third-party verification as it exists for new buildings is that it's great for verifying, yes, this building is designed to accomplish these goals and seems to fit that, but we know from monitoring energy usage in city-owned buildings that we have two identical buildings that were built to LEED Gold standards, and one wildly outperforms the other, and that has everything to do with how the building is lived in and used, which is something you can better capture with something like the Energy Star Portfolio Manager, which gives you year-over-year data.
I'm confused, Councillor Burgess, on what we think the will of council is going to be for this policy. I mean, other cities do not have a policy or have a substantially more simple policy. We're starting to make this more complicated.
I mean, I see a few different things. I really like the idea of including something for existing construction that helps current businesses understand that this is even an option. I mean, I think that is one thing that the policy could do, is to sort of educate in that way. But I don't want to add a whole lot of complexity, and we want to maintain that flexibility. I think it could be very simple insofar as, you know, having an example or two to differentiate existing buildings from new construction and to just explain, you know, very, very simply, these are the kinds of things we would look for in whole building construction, or however we would say it, right? And these are the kinds of things we would look for in existing buildings. And I'd be interested in.
I would agree. I would advise something similar, maybe the examples of leadership and sustainable development for new construction kind of would cover that. Mm-hmm. As Councillor Burgess mentioned, we could include just a couple sentences that kind of, again, explain the type of projects that we would anticipate using TIF for existing buildings. And then, as Sarah was just talking about in that paragraph, talking about third-party verification, we can speak to options like energy benchmarking for existing buildings as well.
So energy benchmarking would be the third-party verification for existing buildings as proposed, and I like that. For the new construction, a third-party verification, that's maybe a sticking point too, is do we want to pay for LEED? We know the University of Iowa doesn't. We know a lot of cities say designed LEED standards but don't go through the process. They have made the decision, other organizations made the decision that it's not worth the taxpayer dollars for that. I know that not everyone will agree with that sentiment, but that's where a lot of our neighbors are at. I personally think that there's maybe some kind of happy medium where, again, we have our climate action staff who, if they have the capacity to write a report about that proposed strategy that might not be LEED but is a fair trade-off, I think that's a great opportunity. I, you know, in the memo I wrote, I was curious, like, how do we empower climate action staff to hire a third party extra person to come in and say, I'm going to look at this proposal and sort of give it the sniff test, like, is this total baloney or is this achievable and you know what you're talking about? And I don't know how we do that. And I mean, I don't think it's going to be that costly of a thing to have an engineer, sustainability expert, look at a TIF proposal from another lens. Is that a worthwhile way to address that concern about us being taken advantage of or the public being taken advantage of?
I think that actually ties really nicely into our attorney's question of, like, what are we requiring within, you know, these are examples, these are options, but if you pick this, you know, the second one, right, if you have something that is some alternative certification, you need to show us how that occurred. I wonder, just because, again, because of my ignorance of the subject matter, I wonder about the other, if we include specific metrics, right? If we say we want this 25% improvement, for example, of whatever metric, do we also want to include that, hey, we may choose to have this verified by a third party, and if we do so, we're gonna work with you on that, but you may bear the cost of that. And is that too open-ended for developers because I don't know what the potential, you know, cost of that could be, or do we feel comfortable that it really is just if there's some particular certification, we need third-party verification versus just, you know, we're exceeding the energy code. It's kind of like, I don't want to get too complex, and I feel we're sort of opening the door for someone self-certifying on these other elements and requiring a third party on, you know, the alternative green building certification.
Yeah, with new construction, I mean, many projects try to achieve a tax credit and use the commercial new construction basically self-verification process, but the licensed architect fills that out and you get a report out and says, you know, I want bundle one, bundle two, bundle three for getting better. That's something that a lot of us are already doing. I mean, that's something that could be proposed. I think the concern from the community is that you can fill that paperwork out and it doesn't actually get built to that standard. Mm-hmm. So how many times are we verifying during design, during construction, after use? Like, I mean, at a certain point, we can do all these things. We're just paying for them.
I will share that as part of the TIF certification process. So when we have a TIF project each year, we do an annual certification with those developers. And as part of that, we've written in, you know, certain, at a minimum, they have to prove that they've paid their taxes and completed the minimum improvements that we've outlined in that development agreement. But we've also included other requirements that they need to report on annually and certify that they're staying up upon. So one example would be the Hilton Garden Inn, and the name of the certification is escaping me, but it's some sort of green hotel certification, and so they get that certificate renewed each year, and then they present that with their annual certification. So I think you already have some of those options to just kind of clarify what sort of reporting and certification you would expect.
Could we also consider accepting a report from ESCO, an energy service company that, for example, MidAmerican Energy, whenever new construction elects to go through their rebate program, they're assigned a handler with an ESCO to review the project and provide a report on what the estimated energy savings would be. If my guess is a developer in the area is probably going to be looking into Mid-Am rebates to help bring down the cost of the building. If they happen to be doing so and they get a report from an ESCO, could we accept that as well? And then they're not paying for additional services to be done, but they're just passing along a report that they're already getting?
Where I'm at right now is, yeah, we are going to, it's clear that we have plenty of examples of sustainability improvements that have nothing to do with new construction or our past policy or the current proposed future policy. Like, I keep coming back to how beneficial is this getting specific in this policy? The other thing is, you know, with new construction project, let's just use a hypothetical question or example. We have a proposed new construction project that promises an incredible amount of affordable housing, but it only beats energy code by 10%. Are we gonna say no to that proposed TIF project as a council? Like, I mean, we are asking for a unicorn. I think that was mm-hmm. Councilor Burke or Councilor Alter's mm-hmm. statement is, If we require a unicorn, we probably won't get anything at all.
Yeah, and I think that's been my concern throughout, is just where is that balancing point to incentivize and ultimately help fund, you know, really quality buildings, particularly when we're talking about new construction, and where does it get to the point of scaring people off, you know, or just dampening the capacity for development in our community. And that's where I just lean on our staff's expertise in sort of finding that sweet spot. I think for this particular portion of the policy that we're talking about with the sustainability elements, I really like, making it examples include, right, rather than saying you pick one or more of these. I think having it be even a little, a little more flexible than that makes sense to me. I think back to our attorney's question, making sure that the language itself is permissive, right, to give our staff the may, right, right. rather than shall. I think based on what Sarah, you just said, I think that, yes, that would count as a third-party verification, and we could say, okay, we're comfortable enough with the parameters of that for sure. That's good enough. Anything we can do to simplify it, I think, is kind of where we're, as far as what the whole council may need to see.
Yeah.
But I don't want to set us up for, having something very specific in the policy and then a TIF proposal being voted down because it had all of this other public benefit that we really, really know we need, but only hit, 20% of that energy reduction.
Yeah. Yeah, we need flexibility. Mm-hmm. And the staff needs flexibility, but we also want, I think there's a concern that we're going to get taken advantage of. But I do think that, again, with this, all of these projects going before the public and their completeness, maybe that's the simpler way, is to just have the requirements for what the TIF proposal is be greater in some way, so that those, what the sustainability strategies are enumerated, as opposed to, I actually don't know what the public gets to see with all of these TIF proposals for the, we know that they're going to make a promise right now to meet LEED because that's in our policy. But before that policy, was there a promise made like we will do X, Y, and Z? Was that made available to the public? Do you know? A lot of words there. I need to ask that differently.
It just depends. So if they were asking for a rezoning, for example, mm-hmm. or something like that, they may share about the project. So at steps during it, but certainly at the time of approving the development agreement.
And it may just be as simple as we're having this level of conversation now. This council, I think, is going to be primed for there will be trade-offs. I think as we speak to how we use TIF as a council and from staff in the memos that we get in our packets and that type of thing, I think if we are very intentional in speaking to overall what we're trying to achieve, right? That we want to meet these goals and implement the values of our strategic plan. And there is an upper limit, right, for cost and viability in any particular project that's influenced by a lot of different factors at a particular place and moment in time. And so we have to make those difficult balancing decisions, and just kind of, forefronting that may be a helpful way to address it.
Importantly, I forgot to also mention that typically or traditionally we have taken TIF projects to the Council Economic Development Committee before they've moved on to the full City Council. So it's another opportunity for you to weigh in.
Mm-hmm. So I think the starting point for, I think we want staff to craft the policy, not us. And I think the starting point is the revised policy, right? I think the mm-hmm. revised policy mm-hmm. is very much close. It's just we are circling around the sustainability or climate action resilience component. Yep. I think we decided we want to add the sort of text about this is what the TIF policy is and it isn't. And then it seems like we want to sort of rearrange the climate action resilience portion to sort of have a speak to the new construction and everything else, maybe,
mm-hmm.
pulled apart separately. And with new construction, we can keep the bulleted list that maybe I had provided or some version of that based on what Climate Action Committee or Sarah thinks, mm-hmm. but then also be very clear that this is not an exhaustive list and this is all part of a larger negotiation. I don't know that we, for new construction, third-party verification, I don't know, do you feel like you have enough information to craft language about how we get to everyone feeling comfortable and confident that, and how many times we're checking the proposal at the design phase, at the construction phase, and after occupancy? Like, do we want that kind of language for the new construction component, or is that, I think it's too much. I'll just come out and say it's too much, it's too costly. And also, what do we do if we have a really successful project that is designed to all these wonderful standards and is, you know, Sarah pointed out, maybe the user is not using it in the most efficient way. What are we going to do? We're not. I don't think we're really going to want to take away a TIF because the user isn't using it the right way. That doesn't seem.
No, I think something that just ensures that we have the opportunity for touch points in a continued relationship. You know, using the Energy Star portfolio manager, like, that makes such good sense. I don't think that's something that needs to specifically be required, right, if we're doing an existing building or even a new construction. Mm-hmm. TIF, I could see that that'd be something that we would want to implement. But I think I don't know the exact words, but I think a balance between the very specific metrics that you've proposed and saying what we want is a continued engagement and commitment to these principles and values, and that's our expectation. Right? This isn't a one and done. This isn't a check the box for LEED. This is a, you know, continued commitment, and we want to have you as a developer understanding that the benefit that you get from TIF comes with this expectation. I think for, you know, to try and be a little bit more specific, I think the preamble idea is good in the overall portion, the very introduction to the policy. And then for the climate action and resilience, I think we should have some metrics if we think those are viable. I think we should have a distinction between new construction and existing construction. I think we should make sure that the language is permissive rather than mandatory. And I think the kind of that added paragraph that you included, Counselor, maybe could be more like in the lead-in, right? To say, mm-hmm. kind of like, here's what we're expecting, and not to focus so much on LEED certification. I think those elements together, it would be kind of, I don't know, kind of what I'm looking for.
I like that. It's a happy medium between flexibility, but also like accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that the final paragraph in my memo goes away, but your language regarding we want multiple touch points is the kind of thing that to me, that's the replacement for that text, is saying we want to know what your intentions are at design, and we want to know that you're actually doing it. And part of the proposal is we're going to work together to determine whether it's just looking at the energy bills or something more extensive, but it's got to be tailored to the project.
I think understanding that certification for the TIF itself might, yeah, that is a touch point, and I think so any kind of expectation setting in the policy itself, that there's an ongoing commitment, is what I might be looking for. And I, some of it is I don't know, and I'm sure it depends, you know, with an existing building that you have a relatively small TIF benefit for a particular system. I'm thinking about the sophistication of those who are implementing that and just trying to be very, very clear of the expectations that we're setting. And when you have a benefit like TIF that spans over many years, it seems to make sense that we might want to say, you know, we want this continued commitment to these principles that you're going to show us some, again, maybe not the exact specific metric, but some kind of check-ins.
Regarding the bulleted list that I provided, how are you seeing that, Councilor Burgess, as far as those are goals, mm-hmm. but if they don't reach that goal and have an alternative, is that acceptable?
I don't think so, and I don't know that that's clear from how it's written, right?
Nope, you're right. It's not. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Are these targets? I know that there's been conversations with different people where the word floor means maybe different things to different people.
Right.
And, you know, if we say we want you to reach this.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other piece of it, though, is that flexibility, right? I mean, I would trust our staff if they came to us and said, we're not exactly hitting any of these in the way that they might be written here, but here's what we're doing, right? Yeah. Like, we're doing something with that relates to air quality or water quality or so, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of something that might be not clearly within one of these, but
right.
has an element that we find really important. I don't think based on how this is written or what we're talking about that we're going to create something where the council would feel a need to vote it down if it didn't specifically meet one of these, but I think we'd be pushing ourselves into a corner that way.
What do you think right now as far as the instruction that you've from two of us that you've been given how to sort of?
Honestly, I feel pretty clear, I think, on what you're looking for. You know, even the way it's written now, but we can clarify further if you want, of examples of leadership and sustainable development for new construction would include. So it doesn't necessarily identify that that's a floor. We can mm-hmm. say it's a target. But I think that's fine. The only other more kind of detailed recommendation I would make is in that introductory paragraph where you have in the last sentence, should they do this, offers a high likelihood of council approval. We may just want to soften that a bit to support it by council, considering all the other things in the policy.
Yeah, just maybe more likely to be or something. Yeah, just or even take that out.
Yeah.
I don't know. That might be.
I was trying to make it very, very, very clear that it doesn't matter if we have this policy.
Right.
Somebody could meet on the previous policy, this proposed policy, somebody could hit all of these marks and we could just say no.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like this. Mm-hmm. And vice versa. Like, we could say yes to something that meets none of the marks. Like, that's the problem with this policy as it exists.
That's the problem with politics. It's the problem with having us at the end saying, well, what did one person say? Should we change everything for that?
I think the only other clarifying question I have, because Councilor Moe, you mentioned, you said something about that last proposed paragraph going away that you have written in your memo.
Yeah, the LEED certification includes third-party verification, ... alternate. I think that that's probably too narrow, and what Councilor Burgess offered as far as the big picture is we're looking at multiple touch points. And LEED sets up those touch points of at design, at construction, after you're commissioning. Mm-hmm. Like, that's already built in, so simple. We already don't need to talk about that one. But for the other ones, we just need multiple touch points that say, you designed it this way, now did you actually build it that way?
Okay, but you no longer wish to incorporate that we will be asking for third-party verification? Or
well,
that we
I don't know that
have
it needs
that
to
option.
Be written. I think,
yeah, I think you can make a nod to it as a could include.
Okay.
But I would want... Again, I think it's going to depend on what the system is, what the sophistication of the developer is, what the sophistication of our staff is on that particular thing at that particular time. I am after this discussion, I'm much more wanting it flexible and not mm-hmm. mandating third-party verification.
Okay.
Well, and I think that, like, having this conversation about, like, there are things that we just need to that our staff won't know, and we might have to spend some money, and does it need to be written into the policy who has to pay for that, whether it's the developer or us? I mean, ultimately.
I would recommend not, just because I think it will depend. Mm-hmm. So if we go a route where it's, you know, something we're seeking, it's very complicated, kind of like that third-party financial analysis, you know, we may be able to attribute that back to TIF cost or just pay for it. In other cases, like... For that example I gave with Hilton Garden and doing the annual certification, mm-hmm. they're paying for any costs that may be associated with that. With the smaller type of grant projects Sarah talked about, we're not paying for costs associated with reporting. So mm-hmm. I think it depends, and I would maybe just leave that out and just kind of negotiate it through the process.
That makes sense to me.
It's very similar, I think, to other types of public benefits we talk about in the TIF policy overall, whether mm-hmm. that's affordable housing or historic preservation or anything. There may be costs that crop up, and we just work through whose responsibility that is.
So let me ask a hypothetical, Councilor Burgess. If somebody proposes, I want to design to lead Silver Standard, but I'm not going to do it through USGBC, I'm going to do it by my own metrics, is that something that we would entertain?
I mean, again, as a subject matter non-expert, I would say, what do you guys think?
Yeah.
You know, and if our staff is comfortable with that, if there are ways to still verify, I think that's fine. My last question, based on the council conversation, is LEED Silver the one we want to put in? As the very specific, like, is that target good enough if someone's going to be selecting LEED?
Probably not, in my opinion, but it is very, very simple. Like, it's the simplest of all of these to understand.
But do we want something other than silver?
Oh, do you want like a higher?
Yeah.
Again, it depends on whether this is a target or a floor, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, I think that to me, especially as we're talking about the amendments that we might be making, it is just such a specific and simple thing that I fear people maybe gravitate towards it because it's something that people know, you've heard of it, you know, and it's just, I'm imagining the people who are making the development decisions, like, do we want to set that specific target at gold or something else?
Okay, so you aren't saying get rid of LEED altogether.
No.
Just saying a higher, okay.
No.
I actually thought you were proposing get rid of LEED completely. And just say, we know that LEED achieves 25% reduction,
mm-hmm.
and so that's actually the goal, the outcome of LEED, okay. The current proposed bullet points are somewhat tethered towards that LEED Silver.
Okay.
So the bullet points that I had put in there, I think we would want to adjust all of them to be equivalents or close in some way, if in fact this is a floor.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize that. So that's helpful to hear that those percentages are kind of based on.
Yeah. And they're very much influenced by, you know, Martha Norbeck's communication with all of us, as mm-hmm. well as other conversations with green building professionals, but that's one counselor doing work, not group of people. Maybe, Sarah, have you had a chance to sort of look at those proposed metrics and do you feel that they're on par? They're not the same. They're measuring different things, but.
They are measuring different things, and I did recognize that the metrics you had assigned reflected LEED Silver in some ways. I think, and this is me not being a building professional, but just talking to folks who build buildings, that LEED Silver tends to feel reasonably within reach for a lot of projects, and LEED Gold is where you start hearing people doing things like using low VOC paint or the certification and then repainting it later because they needed the points. And so in some ways I feel like LEED Silver, this is a gross oversimplification,
sure.
but sometimes I feel like it leads to a more honest project in some ways. But that is a very broad generalization.
Yeah.
I think certainly if we set the bar higher, we're going to get more, right? Like when you go for LEED Gold, that's where you start seeing solar appear on buildings as well, more consistently, so.
Right, which is why I'm very excited about full building electrification. Is like, this is the strategy we want you to move forward with. You're never going to get enough solar panels to offset about envelope, so electrify your building, and we're going to simpler in a lot of ways.
What I like about this is, as written, the bit of flexibility that allows for something like full body electrification without having to necessarily also jump through those hoops, like putting on a specific kind of paint just to get the points to get a LEED Gold certification, but rather saying, you know, you can do these things and you could go for more and like be really focused on that target instead of accruing the points to get a specific certification.
Yeah. So in my mind, it's do we keep LEED at all, or do we keep LEED silver, right? Those are the two questions, and I say let's keep LEED silver. And in many ways, we would, I think it was going to get phased out. We're going to see really cool proposals that say, I don't want to do LEED. I want to do this other thing that's actually better.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like we have a climate action group that can lead those discussions.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that. I mean, I still, what I kind of heard is, and I was pushing my 9 o'clock, sorry.
Oh,
sorry. But no, like, so we're good. But what I kind of heard Sarah say was, yes, if you put a higher standard, you'll get more. Like, oh, well, that's nice. It's just, it comes back to that balance of where is that, and truly, again, dumbing it down for my level of understanding, if the first bullet point said achieving LEED gold or higher, right? And then maybe considering if the metrics, specific percentages and that kind of thing should be adjusted because of that. I mean, I just don't know cost-wise and balance with kind of this like, wow, if Iowa City is going to be really hardcore about this, we're going to put our amazing building in Coralville. I don't know. You know, that's the balance that is so hard to strike.
Or conversely, the gap between I meet energy code and I'm going to do way better than energy code versus I'm going to meet Iowa City's ridiculous TIF thing. We could be really preventing people from actually doing incremental sustainability improvements because our gap is too big between between code minimum, which anybody could do, just say I'm not going to do TIF project and I'm just going to do code minimum, and we lost an opportunity to make somebody more sustainable. And that's the magic in the middle. It's like, how do we do that? I think we have to do it project by project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just a gut check on this question of replacing LEED silver with something higher like LEED gold as the, you know, understanding how we're talking about this now. What do you think? Knowing that we're balancing this with all the other potential public benefits and just really putting you on the spot.
LEED gold feels a little high to me. Does it feel high to you, Councillor Moe?
I mean, it's achievable, but I don't know if the trade-offs, the public, because these are public dollars, you know, the lack of increment is public dollars. I don't know.
And so again, I'm using my kind of like as someone who doesn't understand this industry, but has been sort of exposed to public construction projects that require engagement with the public and municipal, you know, oversight, that kind of thing. Let me be more specific. Working for the City of North Liberty for 10 years and seeing how they use TIF, having some understanding of how the City of Coralville may use TIF, how different it is for Iowa City to use TIF. I just don't, you know, when we put ourselves out there as a leader in sustainability and climate action, is just having this in here at all, like that real signal, or having it in and then saying, but something really aggressive. I mean, I honestly don't know. That's a question.
This is what I would say. If the only objective they were trying to achieve was climate action and resilience, they were leaving aside affordable housing and everything else, then for sure, I think they should go for LEED gold. I think if they're trying to balance some climate action elements with other elements, it might be more reasonable to leave it at LEED silver, saying LEED silver in combination with some of these other things.
Mm.
Yeah. Then we end up with my scoring matrix kind of concept.
Yeah, I mean, do we feel like that is...
in council.
Do we feel like that's clear from the policy overall that, you know, we'd really do expect this,
trade-offs?
Yeah, this larger balancing.
I think staff knows that. I don't know that the policy clearly reflects that. I think you and I agree with that. There's going to be trade-offs.
Right. I guess
from my perspective, you know, I think what we talked about at our first Economic Development Committee meeting is that this policy communicates our values and the type of things that we want to point projects towards. So Sarah's point is exactly the point I wanted to make, is just because we've so focused so heavily on, you know, what should this language look like in the climate action section, I just don't want to lose sight of the overall larger policy. And if mm-hmm. we, I mean, depending on how you write it, which this isn't maybe the most satisfying for the public, or but depending on how you write it, say you had a project come to you that's, we're going to build 200 units of affordable housing, and they're going to be long-term owned by a affordable housing nonprofit, but we can't get LEED Silver. So just then, you know, you have to think about, like, your priorities and what you would still push them towards, at least in that climate action section. So it really is project-specific, I think, but we can...
That's the intent.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's written that way yet, maybe.
Okay.
We can add language, certainly, that makes it clear that trade-offs will be available. And, you know, the affordable housing example is an excellent one, but we've had negotiations that involve you need to bring a grocery store in here. You need to have a bowling alley
right.
in here.
Yeah.
You know, things that
yeah.
we're not going to
That's true.
Have in the TIF policy, but are things that advance the values that council has adopted through their strategic plan in having vibrant communities and downtown and, you know, that kind of thing. And so, you know, there will be trade-offs. There will be compromises.
We're past our time.
Yeah.
I think we've, thanks. I think staff has enough information to revise. And as our next steps, they will revise it, and we will, Economic Development Committee, meet one more time to approve those revisions. Is that the responsible way to move forward?
I would be comfortable either way. I think as long as we have time and opportunity at the full council meeting to dig in, I think it would probably be more efficient if we meet again to go through, because we have some kind of general ideas that staff still needs to wordsmith for us.
That would be my preference, too, that you folks meet at a brief meeting and mm-hmm. consider a revised version of this policy.
To send to council.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From a timing perspective, how quickly can you guys draw up edits?
Is there
a way to get it on the next council meeting? Well, so... Is the goal to get on the next council meeting on the 20th, or
would I think that's the question.
That
would require a pretty quick turnaround. Of course, in order to have another meeting at the Economic Development Committee, we would need 24 hours notice for that. The packet for the council meeting goes out this Thursday on the 15th. So in theory, you could meet on the morning of the 15th and, you know, weigh in. Now, of course, that would largely be either approve what's provided or do edits during the course of the meeting, so that by the end of the meeting you had a product that you folks were recommending to council. But we could do that and notice it up on Wednesday, and that would allow a day or two for...
I'm in court on the 15th.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
So
but yeah, but if we move it up one day, I don't know. I just don't know how long staff needs to provide us with a proposal.
And I'm going to be with Pop-Up Metro the day
before. Oh, yeah, you're in Pennsylvania.
So I will be unavailable on the 14th. So,
How do we feel about the possibility of a late handout that comes out, like, on Friday?
Well, we could do that. Do you mean to have the Economic Development Committee meet, like, on Friday the 16th or
mm-hmm.
something? Or, we could do that.
Do we feel like... politically, that's wise? People look like we're trying to slam something through or hide something?
I'm not concerned
okay,
about that.
We're having this meeting right now.
Yeah,
anyone can watch.
People can always say
we
that.
We have a visitor, so.
Yeah, no, I think that the intent of being able to be careful and flesh out a policy, like having meetings in quick succession doesn't mean we're ramming something through.
No.
Like the
we're actually intentionally moving
right,
forward.
Exactly. So I'm not concerned about that, and I have quite a bit of availability on the 16th. If others do.
I'm looking at my calendar right now.
Yeah, I'm unscheduled.
So we need to probably get Councilor Dunn's availability, mm-hmm. but I can be very flexible on the 16th.
Okay. Morning would be best, if
yes,
that's possible.
I agree
yeah.
with that.
I mean, just for what we're talking about and trying to get everything out, but I could do first thing on Friday.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so you guys will draft something up, and we will have mm-hmm. it a day or two before the 16th mm-hmm. to look at.
Correct.
I think that's good for item three, development of recommendation to the full city council for approval of revised tax increment policy. Any new business, Councilor Burgess, you wanted to bring up?
I have none.
All right. Would you like any, ready for adjournment?
Move to adjourn.
A second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Same sign. Thank you very much, guys, for being quick about this.
Yeah.